Well, good morning, church. As Ty said, I am wearing a blazer. Please don't get anything on it or I lose my deposit. So this morning, I want to start off by doing kind of an exercise. So you don't have to close your eyes. It helps. So if you close your eyes and I'm going to say a word or two words, and I just want the first thing that comes to your head, don't say it out loud, because I'll just act like I hear you. So the first thing is when I think of basketball. So first thing you think of when you think of basketball. All right, next, when I say Avengers. So the first thing you think of when you think of the Avengers. And then, all right, let's do one more. Let's do female vocal artist. First person you think of. Great. Awesome. Thank you for playing. Anyways, that's all I have. So so maybe when I said basketball, maybe you are some throwbacks and you think of like Larry Bird, some people like that. Maybe you're new to the game and so you only know of like Steph Curry, LeBron James. Maybe you're a Dallas loyal, so you think of Dirk or you think of Luka. Maybe when the Avengers, maybe you thought of Captain America or Spider-Man or Iron Man, all the faves. Maybe when I said female vocal artist, you thought of Beyonce. Thanks, Katie. Beyonce, maybe you thought of Taylor Swift. Maybe Shakira. What was that? Patsy, that's who I thought of. Patsy Cline. So, yeah. So we think of all these people. And we have to beg the question, okay, so why just a simple word or a simple couple words makes us recall these people? What brings these people to mind? Why do they stand out for us when we think about basketball, the Avengers, female vocal artist, Patsy Cline? Why do these people stand out so much for us? So I'm going to be in 2 Corinthians 5. I have a lot of scriptures today. I had to fill a lot. Like you said, I got this call at 9 o'clock last night. I honestly thought when you get a text and a call from Ty Lambert at 9 o'clock that says, call me when you get a chance, the first thing I thought of was, I'm fired. But great news, I just had to preach. So, yeah, 2 Corinthians 5 is where I'm going to be, 16 through 21. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting the people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So this morning we're really going to focus on verse 20 there. So what does it mean for us today to be an ambassador for Christ? Going through my learning at OC, I had to take a lot of different classes in the College of Bible. So I had to take, you know, preaching, youth ministry, even a couple of children's ministry classes just because they want you to be well-rounded. And one of my preaching classes, it was all about like structure, how to structure a sermon. And one thing that they talked about was like the don't ever do, never once do this in a sermon, you'll lose everybody. They said don't ever start a sentence with Webster defines and then go into it. However, I'm a youth minister. So Webster defines an ambassador, a representative of a nation in a foreign land who carries out the plans or ideas of a sovereign body that gave them authority. So what does it mean for us to be ambassadors of Christ? So Paul urges all Christians in his first letter to the Corinthians, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. It's 1 Corinthians 1:17. And so I think for some of us Christians, we sometimes we draw the line at baptism. I think we see people out there and we go, well, we just got to get them baptized. That's how I can be the ambassador. I can just go out there and I can see how many I can baptize. And I can put a check in my Bible at the very beginning page that's supposed to be like, this was dedicated to. Nobody does that anymore. But I can put tally marks of, oh, I've baptized so many people. And that's me being a great ambassador, just going out and baptizing. But it's more than that. We're supposed to help walk alongside and develop faith of new Christians, of believers, of old believers who may have walked away from faith. All these things we're supposed to do as ambassadors for Christ. So quick story. When I was in fourth grade, I was a assistant principal's kid. So I wasn't the top-notch dog, but I was second in command. So assistant principal's kid. So I got to school every morning, probably an hour before all the cool kids got to come to school. So I had to wake up super early. That was fun. So, but one of the privileges that came with me being at school early was I got to be on something known as safety patrol. And safety patrol was a cool gig, right? They gave you this cool reflective vest, and they gave you a stick with like a flag hanging from it. And so that was it. It was the bee's knees, as some of you would put it, to be on safety patrol. That's what you worked for. As a third grader, you idolized fourth graders who were on safety patrol. Now, safety patrol was a dangerous job. Your job was to stop kids from running in the hallways in the morning, trying to get to class. So, as I am, as you would look at me today, I'm pretty, you know, solid as a rock body type, right? So, I obviously had a lot of authority as a small child, and a lot of people, just like today, respect authority. So, the safety patrol people bowed to me, talked kindly to me. None of that happened. So, there was a huge intersection in my school. My little elementary school that was right next to the cafeteria that led to two major hallways. One broke down to first through fourth grade, and the other broke down to kindergarten, pre-K. And so it was a major hallway, right? And so if you were the safety patrol for that hallway, it was a big task. We rotated, right? Sometimes you got the early, like the lazy shift of like the fourth grade hall, you know, sometimes you got the chaotic shift of the kindergarten pre-K hall, but then you got the really chaotic of the major intersection. So I was at this major intersection, and basically all you're supposed to do if you're on safety patrol is listen. There's a teacher also appointed with you who's really in control, but they give you the sticks. So they're really in control, so you're supposed to just listen to the teacher, and if they're saying, hey, stop traffic this way, you're supposed to put out the stick this way. They're like, hey, stop traffic that way, put the stick out that way. So it's a really simple job. And so the teacher is trying to conduct all this chaos of children coming out of the cafeteria and just spreading out like wildfire. And I'm doing my job great, as you would imagine, and I'm killing it. And so all of a sudden, down the hallway, little bitty kindergartner. Kindergartner is sprinting down this hallway, and the teacher says, stop that kid. So he's running into my intersection, and traffic is already flowing this way, right? So he's running this way. He'll be trampled for sure. So my job as safety patrol, I snap into action. And so she says, stop that kid. And I go, wham! And I turn real quick, and I clothesline him, and he hits the ground. That kid to this day doesn't run. I stopped his running for life. He was on the ground. So safety patrol, obviously a big deal. When I put on that vest, when they handed me that pole, I became Luke Andrus, safety patrol officer. That's who I was. That's who I am at that point. The same thing happens when I decided to put on Christ in baptism. When I put on the waters of baptism, I no longer was just Luke Andrus. I am now Luke Andrus, ambassador of Christ. That's what we all put on when we put on Christ in baptism, when we say in our hearts that Christ is our Savior. That's what we carry with us. And Romans 10:17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So where does faith come from? Faith comes from hearing the message. If you were like me, you grew up in the church. You've always heard the message, whether it be through skits or puppet shows or the little thing, the little vinyl graph thing we used to, yeah. So all these ways that we heard about the message growing up. But some people aren't like that. Some people don't grow up in the church. Some people don't have church-going families. So they hear about the message through friends or through coworkers or going to big events. And so for our job, if to get a faith, you must first hear the message, how are we sharing that message? How are we carrying the gospel and delivering that to the rest of the world? And the message comes from the word about Christ. And so this idea of having this message, this idea of putting on Christ and now becoming more than just who you were, but now becoming this ambassador of Christ, begs the question, well, who do I share this with? I have the gospel, but who do I share the gospel with? And really, do I have the authority? Who am I, really, to share this message? Well, 1 Thessalonians 2 says, for the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God who tests our hearts. This idea that our authority doesn't come from how well we know Scripture, how well we know theology, how much we can argue our perspective of the Bible. Our authority was approved by God. We are given this message, his gospel, and we are approved to go out and share it with everyone that we come into contact with. Our authority by God entrusted with the gospel. So think back what it means to be an ambassador. I would say for us, as an ambassador of Christ, we get to represent God in a world that is not our home and carry out his will and plan because he gives us the authority to do so. So I think one thing about us, I know for me, and I for some of you, we are very forgetful people. We forget things all the time. Whether it be you're running around the house and you're looking for car keys that are in your hand, or you're the person that's like, I can't find my glasses, and they're on your head. That's my mother. My mother would lose things, and they'd be right on her head. It's like, come on, Mom. So, but my mom was also the greatest finder of things. I would spend hours in my room looking for something, and she knew exactly where it was. I guess this is what happens when she cleans your room. So it's this idea that we are very forgetful people. Another thing, so like yesterday was at Evelyn's birthday party, and they get Wise Guys pizza, which is very enticing. And so I get there, I'm like, I'm about to eat all this Wise Guys, and I get like four slices of pizza, and then I've already had like two cups of Coke, and then I sit down, and then my girlfriend says, you have a 5K later, and I forgot. I ran an entire 5K with so much food in my stomach. But not only that, so like I said, my parents sometimes were very forgetful. And I know last time Jeff was brave enough to let me do this, I told a story of how I broke my leg and how my dad was kind of there the entire time to help or not help with many different situations. Now, they will argue that a lot of that was fabricated in the mind of a three-year-old. I stick to it. But this, however, is not a lie. And my sister's here, and she can tell you because she often also got forgotten. So two times I can remember me getting forgotten. I'm also the middle child, so ergo forgotten the most. And so one time was at the baseball field. I grew up playing baseball, so I was always at the ball field. And it would just so happen that some nights, I'm sure probably y'all have done this too, we'd go somewhere after, and both parents thought, well, Luke's probably with them. And if we didn't have the officer that went to our church there, I probably would have spent the night there. But the police officer was like, Luke, I've seen both your parents leave. Who are you here with? And I was like, no, no, I guess I'm just hanging out. So he called my parents, and they came back and get me. The best time I can remember ever being forgotten was when I was at a place called Little Red Schoolhouse. This is where I went to preschool. And Little Red Schoolhouse is no longer with us. They have shut down. But the memories are still alive. And so I can remember every day at pickup, sitting on the steps outside of Little Red Schoolhouse, hanging with my friends. And one day I see my mom's car pulling up. She's getting in the line. The line's really backed up. It's a pretty slow day at the Little Red. And so, pretty slow day, but I see her pull up, so I'm like putting on my backpack. I'm like, high five, I'm like, check you later, I'm out. And then I see my mom just keep going. And not just like a little bit, like all the way out and did not turn around. And so, the teachers were like, they also saw her. Like, they were like, Luke, get your stuff. Like, your mom's here. And I was like, I'm already on top of it. And so, then they're like, Luke, let's just go inside. Because I was just like, that was my mom. I'm 100% sure. And it wasn't until like my mom's getting on the freeway that my oldest sister, Lauren, is in the back seat. And she goes, are we not getting Luke today? And my mom goes, dang. And she like exit off the, and she was just like, I was in the line, but I was in the line for so long. I was just so angry with everybody that I just kept going. And I was like, it's cool. You forgot about me. It's whatever. I won't ever tell it to a bunch of people. So, right. So we forget often and we are forgetful people. The problem with that is sometimes it can be bad to forget. In Matthew 7:15 and the start of 16, it says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are they ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. So here's the part about being an ambassador of Christ. I think a lot of the time, we look the part, but we lack the heart. I think a lot of the time, we know what it looks like to be an ambassador for Christ. We know what it looks like to come to church. We know what it looks like to speak kindly to people. But when the moment comes, I think we forget. I think we train our minds to go, if this situation comes up, I'm going to be the hero that steps up. I'm going to be the difference maker. And then it happens and we forget. And we go back to what the world expects us to do. Just be quiet. Don't cause too much of a fuss. Don't be that guy with the Bible, right? Don't speak up all the time. I think we forget. But we have to let people recognize us of being ambassadors by the fruit. Who we are, where our actions are, how we speak. Are we actually living out what we're talking about? Are we the sheep, or are we just like a wolf in an ugly Christmas sweater? Like, who are we really? Are we actually being ambassadors? Are we really being the people of God who know that they have a message to give, that know that they have a gospel that's given to them, and are actually actively seeking out ways to spread it? And so that begs the question, do you know the message? Have you heard the message? Are you confident enough in your faith that you can share it with others? Are you confident enough to start the conversation? Are you confident enough to step into a conversation when you hear something being said? So how do we get that confidence? Well, I would say three things. The first thing is you have to spend time in the Word. You have to know what the message is. You have to figure it out for yourself. And I think that's a big part. I think growing up in church, I was given the message, but it was the message via Luke's parents, right? That was the message I held on to for a long time. It was, well, my mama says about the Bible, or my daddy said that the Bible says this. And that was the message I was first given. And I ran with that message probably all the way through high school with, I have the message, but it's really the message through the lens of my parents that I just kind of a photocopy of. It wasn't until I got to college where I started hearing a lot of things and having a lot of different conversations where I had to put the message through my own lens. I had to read the message for what I think it is, what I think it says. And that's how we gain that confidence. The second time is in prayer. I think we talk about prayer. I think we say the words, well, I'll pray for you. But I think a lot of time, again, we're forgetful people. We forget. We forget to pray. When are you supposed to pray? Before big decisions, before big things happen, before a test, right? No. All these things that we're supposed to pray for, man, we always say, yeah, I'll pray. How well, have you prayed about it? And I think sometimes we just forget in the moment. We don't remember. I have this line directly to God that I can use all the time. And it doesn't have to be a hands together, eyes closed. It can just be a conversation with God about anything. And that's what we're supposed to remember. And the last thing I would say is spend time in conversation. So it's one thing to have the message, but are you being in conversation about your message with other people. I've learned more about the Bible, not from reading it myself, but having conversations about what I've read with other people. Well, how was that said? What was the context? What's really happening? Who are these people? When we have conversations about the message, we start to develop and strengthen our own confidence of, well, okay, well, now I feel confident in sharing this with others. So I asked the question earlier about, you know, basketball and the Avengers and the female vocalists. And that's all to say that we can all represent something, right? We can all be a representative of something. So who or what do you represent? Sometimes that's easy to acknowledge, right? If it's a sports team, you're obviously going to wear the jersey, or you'll talk about them, or people will mute you on Facebook. And so that's really easy to say. That's one way. Or like bumper stickers or car decals. That's an easy way to tell what people are for or who they're voting for this year. And so that's a great way that you can represent yourself. But when people hear your name, what are they saying? What do they say? What do they think you represent? Right? That's always a fun game of how would you describe me? Because if we were to write it like, oh, these are my descriptive traits, and then you ask somebody else to do it and they don't match up at all, that's the same thing. When we talk about being ambassadors for Christ, this idea of how do people describe you? How do people say that you represent? Do people acknowledge what you are trying to put out? Do they hear the message that you're trying to put out? Do you hear ambassador of Christ? Would that even be like in the top 10 if I said, you know, man, describe, fill in the blank here. Would it be in the top 10? Obviously, mother, maybe sister, brother, hard worker, but ambassador of Christ. The best thing I can think about, the best example of that is in James. I think James 1 is the best example of how I would want to be known as. If I could have anything as my number one, it would be Luke, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how I would want to be remembered. If I could go back and fix mistakes and have a redo at everything, I think the most important thing that I would want is to be known as a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be remembered like that. That's how I want to live a life as an ambassador of Christ when people remember me. So usually as a youth minister, I try to, at the end of all my, you know, talks, I like to do challenges. So these are the three challenges for you guys. So for challenge number one is to know the message and to know it well. There's a difference. Knowing the message is easy, but do you know it well? Are you confident in what you know? The second is to share that message which provides faith. Don't share a message that doesn't provide faith. Don't say, let me give you the rundown of Scripture, and I'm only going to tell you the parts that maybe benefit you in life. I'll leave out the parts that, you know, make you feel guilty. If that doesn't provide, if your message isn't going to provide faith, then don't share it. And third, I want you to think about, how do we become that ambassador? How do we become the person that we feel like we're not at home right now? We are in a foreign land. However, we are given the authority to do God's will and fulfill His purpose. If we can help you do that this morning, we would love to do that. We're going to have the elders and their wives in the back that can pray for you. If you want to get baptized, I'm already doing so much today, why not throw that in? So, if you want to be baptized, come down to the front. We would love to help you as we stand and we sing.